everyone, and welcome to JFG. Tonight we have a first insight into the mind of the shooter who attempted the assassination of Trump. And it's not a complete view yet, but we're going to have a look at it. Believe it or not, he was a Gab leftist. Ugh! A Gab leftist. These people are disgusting. They are people who they want to argue with people on the far right, but they want to argue that they're all wrong. So he tried his hand as arguing with people on Gab, mostly center-right figures, a la Bill Mitchell, Cat Turd, that kind of people. And he was arguing with them about immigration, pro-Biden stuff. He seemed to be kind of a centrist, someone open to interacting with Republicans, but someone who was deeply making an argument for immigration and an argument for Biden, sometimes defending Biden. DK Shadow says, those are hardly far right. No, that so it was when you're on Gab, it's weird. It's weird when these leftists get on Gab, because even in the height of censorship, they had Twitter. But you have a very special personality of leftists that you need to have to go on Gab, even if you're not banned from Twitter. And it seems that, you know, you have to have that kind of social reject kind of attitude and kind of be autistic a little bit and within internet movements, but not to the point where you agree with the kind of 4chan mentality. Yes, they are very much trolls, often. Andrew Tarba has reported 9 posts. So the reason Andrew Tarba does this today is he got a request from the feds. The feds have asked for a special account on Gab, and as part of the request, he was able to guess, or it was said, I don't know. But he was able to know that it was for the shooter that they were asking for this data. So a federal request of knowing whether this guy has made DMs, whether this guy... So it's all activity from 9 posts. He was mostly replying to individuals, and it's all from 2021. So it's a long time ago. It was a dead account. Probably they found a trace of this dead account on his laptop or cell phone, and they said, okay, maybe there's something in there. Approximately 30 minutes ago, Gab learned that Thomas Crooks, the deranged Joe Biden supporter who attempted to assassinate President Trump, may have had an account on our platform. We are unable to confirm that the account in question actually belonged to him, but he goes on to say, it seems from the belief of the investigators that are asking for this, that this would be Thomas Matthew Crooks. So February 4th, 2021, here he is replying to Cat Turd. Didn't you also think Biden would lose in a landslide? Yeah, I would not be very confident in your election predictions. So here throwing shade at Cat Turd on Gab. Okay. Doesn't give us much insight into his mind, but okay, we got the style of individual. Here he responds to Bill Mitchell. First of all, Biden executive orders don't incentivize human trafficking, as human traffickers aren't interested in citizenships. So here defending Biden's executive order, saying it's false to say that it helps illegal immigration or something like this. Likewise, the majority of illegal immigrants are not criminals, and in fact, some studies, such as the one linked below, show lower rates of crime committed by these individuals. It is also unclear if the extensive path to citizenship is in fact effective at routing out potential bad actors, hence why there is a review of that system. So a couple of things I will note here. Well, first, he has his studies, so he is from these crews of people who keep links to articles. you see these leftists that like to debate on the internet and win with facts and logic. So he writes in a way that, okay, he's probably high IQ, you know, he doesn't make much grammatical fault or anything. It's well written. It's okay. He's probably, at least, I would put a lower boundary of 110 IQ based on this writing. I don't know if he could have more, but at least 110 IQ to write like this and to quote studies. He's using studies that are making the case that migrants aren't committing crimes. Of course, those studies have their own bias, which we've discussed many times, but it's like if you select a migrant population that has recently immigrated, they will have low crime rates because we reject. If you have a criminal history, we don't select you as part of immigration. And then there's all the bonuses given to if you marry, if you have a job, if you can have a company that requires you. So all of these, they tend to select higher IQ. Now, the problem, of course, is when you, down the line, the genes of these people have not been selected. It's really, these people were selected out of a self-selection process of the current times. But when the reality of their genes shows up in many generations, you might get surprises. So it's not because a first generation of migrants does not commit, in fact, less crimes than the local population. And by the way, I would point out, in the local population, in the average of it, there's black people. It's not because they have a lower rate of crime that you're going to have a lower crime society down the line, when the true nature of these genes show in their full expression, without white people to police them, basically. So other messages. He's arguing with Bill Mitchell, saying, okay, so for one, the turnout in 2020 election was 66.7%, while in 2012, it was 55% in 2016. And roughly that amount in 2012 and 2016. Therefore, there is going to be a lot of more votes for both candidates. So comparing just the number of votes isn't accurate in measuring a candidate's popularity. Instead, look at the percentage of overall votes. You'll find Trump won 46% of the votes in 2016, losing the popular vote. And this year, he still won 46% of the votes. So yes, more people vote for him, but that's a result of a larger turnout, not a genuine increase in popularity. So little intellectual arguments here on, is it justified that Trump lost? Why did he lose? Was it fraud? That kind of discussion, I guess, was the discussion in which he was intervening. John Drake says, the Secret Service says they didn't record any radio calls or any communication whatsoever between agents. Okay, the NSA still must have them. They suck up everything. Why isn't Congress demanding them? Well, you know, interesting hypothesis that the NSA is so omnipresent in its surveillance. It must be somewhere on a hard drive. No, but I don't know what they use as devices. If they use, analog waves, then perhaps no one has recorded it. But if they somehow use the internet in some form, you would think that some record of these communications will be available. Maybe encrypted, maybe hard to decrypt, but it would be out there. Very weird that we don't have the conversations that may have happened or may not have happened concerning the preparation of the Trump, the Trump speech. I'm yawning. It's such a crazy world. I was taking a break yesterday of the show because it was so crazy. We have Kamala Harris. She's rooting. She's been declared. It's weird. It's so weird. She's been declared presidential candidate by monarchic crowning on the side of the Democrats. Now she's going for a hard left campaign, saying she will ban assault rifles. Ban assault rifles? And the whole center right, the Trump MAGA rooters, they are just Trump, and they're starting to throw shit at Kamala. And I see this whole thing, and then I see Bibi Netanyahu coming to do a speech in front of Congress, where he's basically suggesting a civilizational war against the entire Iran axis. So we are here between factions of elite that want to, on one side, they want to disarm the American people. On the other side, they want you to go die. So, I mean, your Second Amendment won't matter once you're at the front line against China, Russia, and they can kill you with a $25 drone. We have two options here that are horrible. It's really horrible. In one case, you're going to get massive federal attack against gun rights. In another case, you're going to be at war with Iran and possibly align in a world war against Iran, which means China, which means Russia, and which means the entire Muslim world. I was depressed yesterday. It's not funny to think about all this. And it's like we lost control of our politics. We had some control in 2016. The internet was causing things. And we have Elon riding in jeeps with in little carts, presenting his old Tesla company and whatever to Bibi Netanyahu, you know, accusing of anti-Semitism the counter-protesters. Like Elon looks at the counter-protesters who are like, hey, a genocide is happening. Palestinians are getting killed. And Elon says, anti-Semitism. Where is... What? You can't hear at least the steel man of their argument? You really think that every single person down there with a Palestinian flag or counter-protesting, you think every single person was just a Jew hater? They were there for no other reason. It's like, wow, we are not in good faith territory right now. It sucks. It sucks because I thought we might be able to impose this back in 2016 because we had power. We had won the public space. But now with Elon, Elon just is publicly delusional about the Israel question. It's not healthy because I know he has a good mind, so he must understand his flaws and his double standards. I'm sure that the average Jew at 100 IQ or the not too thinking Jew, I'm sure they may not be able to perceive their own double standards. But someone of the level of intelligence as Elon, you would expect that he sees what he's doing. And yet, he still does it. Real Base Talk says, we have the Democrats representing nuns and ours representing Jews. No one speaks for us. Absolutely. John Drake says, Bibi's speech was big flex for his political opponents back home. He even hushed Congress at one point in the speech. Yeah, he was saying, don't applaud right now. Don't applaud. Listen. So, American politics is truly the circus that I've been describing for years, and it is not getting better. It's really too bad. it sucks, man, because we don't even have a single representative. Maybe you could argue a Thomas Massey, or, you know, people take the MAGA extremist here and there, but there's not much that can free inside the political class that is truly free from the system and there to represent their people. Actually, so let's continue reading what the shooter has written on Gab. Actually, the executive order allows an easier path to U.S. citizenship, therefore no longer making them illegals and allowing children to join their already legalized immigrant parents in the U.S. So here, trying to be pro-immigration and to downplay the importance of those amnesties that Biden was giving. Then insulting Kathy Hopkins. The reason that all deaths are down is because you are stuck in your house. So I don't know, suggesting that Kathy Hopkins is kind of a danger to society. Okay. Prison Planet, which is a InfoWar, a part of InfoWar. Was it Paul Joseph Watson back then? Prison Planet. He says that's funny because the first order mandates a reuniting of any families separated at the border. The second and third orders, a review of Trump's immigration policies and other previous policies. However, his order doesn't actually open borders or reduce the authority of Border Patrol or anything that would substantially reduce Border Patrol effectiveness. So I'm sorry, but this guy is talking out of his ass. So here, the debunking of immigration talking points. And then he has a point at which he just adds a couple of random people. And then he talks to Andrew Torba and tells him about, has Trump ever been concerned with leftists? So it looks like certainly someone who was aggressively pro-immigration to the point of going to people arguing against immigration and correcting them and saying, oh no, you're wrong here and here. Here, let me debunk you. So I think it's not random. I think he picked his moment. He chose to shoot Trump the moment a slide about immigration showed up. That is quite meaningful. When you see his Gab interactions, basically, his shooting of Trump looks like his Gab interactions. If you want a signature of, is it him, is it not him? I think it's him. Because he kept going to, you know, we have our slides and Bill Mitchell has his slides and he's making arguments against immigration. And he came there and disrupts the argument and argues against it. But in the case of Trump, he wasn't too much into arguing. Instead, he shot him. That is what's happening. So there are people now replying to his post on Gab because Gab left them up. So you have some people since yesterday, they have responded to Epic Microwave. And here he says, the reason all deaths are down is because you are stuck on your sloped roof. So they're talking to him after his death. Okay, the comment on deaths was related to a COVID story by Kathy Hopkins. Yeah, so good for Torba, says DK Shadow. Yes, that is very appreciated that Torba, instead of silencing and making the information not available to the public. By the way, there's no law against material from shooters being available to journalists and the general public for them to make their own judgment. But what we have again and again is that when it's a leftist when it's a trans shooter going to a Christian school, they get the special treatment and they get the omerta, the law of silence. And it's a choice. It's a choice that these corporations are doing, because they could do what Andrew Torba is doing right here, which is systematically expose and make available. We have Kamala is totally in black culture mode here. She's trying to combat the idea that she is an Indian.
What'd you get? Okay, so first of all, Charlie Mingus, really one of the greatest jazz performers ever. One of my favorite albums of all time. Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves Sunshine, you know this one? So good. It's a classic. And then
she's buying black albums to look more black.
Right? And this is a beautiful one. It's Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong.
There's nothing more liberal than this. Going into this vinyl disc, you know, crappy store, buying these vinyl discs from black people. Unbelievable. She's totally in election mode. Meanwhile, Mr. Beast has been pressured by the crowds. It's a long story that I haven't followed at all, so I'm not super positioned to inform you of the details. But there's been a member of the team of Mr. Beast that has gone trans. And there were past statements of Mr. Beast where he seemed to be biased a little bit. He was kind of critical of this, like loosely, back in the days when the left wasn't pursuing you that hard when you made a comment. But Mr. Beast has disavowed his own comments then and has said, no, I totally side with this trans employee of mine. And then eventually, more recently, there were some DMs released. And I haven't even made my judgment because I haven't looked into it. But basically, DMs were released that would show a conversation where maybe some sexual nature stuff has been said between a 13-year-old and this trans person. But now the 13-year-old came out, now being an older person, but the then 13-year-old came out and said, no, I was not the victim of anything. There was some banter jokes, and it was in the presence of my parents, and it was all accepted. I've not been victimized by these words. So, okay, well, if someone says they have not been victimized, then, I mean, that's where I decided not to investigate, because I don't really care. Now, Mr. Beast himself seems to have been so much under pressure that at this point he disavows. Kind of. He says he's going to have a neutral investigator. He says, over the last few days, I've become aware of the serious allegations of Ava Tyson's behavior online, and I am disgusted and opposed to such unacceptable acts. During that time, I have been focused on hiring an independent third party to conduct a thorough investigation to ensure I have all the facts. That said, I've seen enough online and taken immediate action to remove Ava from the company, my channel, and any association with Mr. Beast. I do not condone or support any of the inappropriate actions. I will allow the independent investigators the necessary time to conduct a comprehensive investigation and will take any further actions based on these findings. I still don't know what are we're talking about a victimless crime here. We're talking about something where the person has said, no, I've not been victimized. Now, when someone who's not a major someone who's a minor says, I've not been victimized, you can decide that they don't have the age to understand. But the person is now not a minor. So I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to see him drop him under the bus after so long of siding with him. Because for weeks, Mr. Beast has been saying, I'm not listening to the trolls. Those are all transphobes. Well, okay, but if you're going to do this, why not keep siding with your position that those were all transphobe concerns? Whatever has been exposed recently is so small that even the victim themselves are telling you, I'm not a victim. These words were not shocking to me, and we were chatting, and it was all fun. Okay, well, I may never get to the bottom of this story because it sucks. It's not an interesting story. Low Mercury Tuna sends a super chat. He sent a super chat during the night on Entropy. He says, if you blacklist someone because he's done something against you, do you also automatically blacklist all of his identical siblings since you consider them to be multiple detached blobs of the same body? Absolutely. It is time that we start considering twins for what they truly are. They are an outgrowth of each other. They are a single individual plotting, just preparing conspiracies to favor each other. It is time we consider, and yes, when I blacklist someone, I blacklist the entire array of all of their identical twins. I don't miss a single one. It's, to me, they are truly the same thing. Meanwhile, the Benjamin Netanyahu discourse in front of the politicians. Look at all these politicians. Of course, some of the politicians who were opposed to Bibi, they didn't show up. So it gives you a kind of fake view because they filled the seats with other people applauding. But what you're missing here is that there's a good chunk of the Congress, like, you know, the Ilhan Omar type, who didn't show up. They wanted their absence to be noted. But what the other politicians have done while they weren't there is to ensure that there were fake politicians standing and just applauding. This is deceptive. This is a trick because you just stole the freedom of speech, the freedom of speaking through your absence from the politicians. Being absent is an act of speech. If I say, okay, I'm so scandalized by DK Shadow's comment on the regular chat, I'm stopping the show, and I walk out, my walking out will be a strong statement, and the empty chair behind me would be a message to the world. Now, if you hire just an employee, an Indian employee, to stand in my chair and continue the show as if nothing happened, you have stolen my free speech. You are sending a message that is different from the one I wanted to send by my absence. Ariel Suarez says, isn't blacklisting someone's identical twin guilt by association? Well, if you consider that the association already exists and that there is no difference, the thing is, guilt by association only works if there is identity. So for something to be associated to something else fetishly, that thing needs to be A, and it needs to be attached to something else, B. There needs to be identity. My claim is that two twins are A and A. They are the manifestation of the same genome. in the world. So yeah, big lie. This is not the amount of support behind Bibi Netanyahu. That being said, there are many politicians who are bought out by the Israeli interest. And so BB went on exactly as I had predicted. He didn't call explicitly for a war against Iran, but he really laid out a view of civilization where he says it's a war between the civilized world. How is it that Israel, by the way, is included in the civilized world? I have no clue. Because they are acting like barbarians in war. They are acting more barbaric than anything we've seen in the last few decades, even in the worst places on Earth. I mean, they are bombarding civilian population with the intent to destroy. So what he laid out is a view that, yeah, you know, there's America plus Israel, and this is the good guys. This is the civilizational side. And then there's the barbarians. Those are the evil anti-civilization people. And they would have Iran at their front. But potentially, what he said in terms of the axis, yeah, axis of evil, he even used those terms. It was very much reminding of the George Bush era of the axis of evil. But the axis of evil could eventually extend to Russia, China, and you find yourself in World War III. So that's literally the plan on the Israeli side, is to recruit American lives and dedicate them to their advancement against the Muslim world. And it's a colonial project. One of the things that he said was that he had no intent for occupying Gaza. That what he was seeing is the potential of a Palestinian population coming to repopulate Gaza, but in a civilian way, in a way where Israel would control their arms and would manage their city, basically. And so the idea that he doesn't have intent to colonize Gaza is kind of a lie. It's a lie by incompletion. The thing is, this place has been so destroyed at this point. I don't think it's a particularly desirable place. I think he wants Gaza to be unoccupiable. So I don't think that the project in the end, I mean, in the long term, I think eventually he sees it populated by Jews. But the reality is, you couldn't have Palestinians just going back to Gaza City and without the means of liberty, without the means of their own control of their own fate, they couldn't repair this city. It's literally more easy to go anywhere else where there's no one, because you have these piles of cement and concrete completely destroyed. It would cost massive amounts of money and effort to even get started. Another thing that was completely ridiculous from the BB speech is that he lied by selection, by cherry picking. He started by saying, "There, you know how much civilian casualties there were in Rafah? Zero. None." And then he said, well, actually just 24, two dozen people. That was an accident, an offshoot of a missile. And then he came back and said, so zero, none. And the thing is, this attracts the mind. The mind is like, well, he just contradicted himself. Zero, none, or 24, or zero, none. I mean, he's gone through two self-contradictions within 10 seconds. And the problem is, This is leading the human mind to concentrate on a difference that doesn't matter. Because what's the key to the deception? This is what a magician does, by the way. The magician makes something that doesn't matter in front of your eyes, while the thing that matters happens behind. The thing that matters in this lie is not the difference between 24 and 0, which is what all the commenters, they immediately comment on this. Even I brought it up first. The real lie there is to say civilian victims in Rafah. First, how do you count civilian victims? Well, Israel doesn't count them. To them, every single person they kill is a combatant, except if proven otherwise through their own intelligence service. So basically, you don't have a method to know whether you're killing civilians in Rafah. Secondly, Rafah has not been fully invaded. Rafah is the place where people have concentrated and where the killings that we're talking about when we say there's a genocide going on, it's been happening outside of Rafah. Rafah is precisely the place where it's not been happening yet. And so Bibi Netanyahu is a quite skilled liar. I cannot see how you get to this level of deception and magic trickery without intent. I think there is intent to lie in these people. There was someone bringing up a point that I've heard from Tim Pool, and I was hearing it a lot, so I made a response yesterday. Why are you so concerned about civilians in Gaza? There are many worse tragedies in the world, and this one is completely the responsibility of Hamas. They attacked and compelled Israel to respond. Pretty simple. So first, when they engage on this point, it's like they want to reduce the question of care to the question of how many people are dying, how many civilians are dying. But I've never said this is the most important thing. And in fact, I don't know much right-wing commentators who focus on, oh, it is the number of people that died. We care about Gaza because the number is big. No one cares about the number. I said, I care more about Gaza because the invitation to side with Israel in this genocide is fundamentally different than the one at play in Myanmar. Western civilization has no dogs in the fight of Myanmar, because Western civilization hasn't been subverted by greedy Myanmar financiers, swaths of Myanmar intellectuals, and our intelligence services hasn't been conquered by Myanmar secret agents, nor is our big tech controlled by corrupted, savant Myanmar coders. With Israel, it's different. We are being told to join a side and sacrifice our nations and people for what ultimately will become an all-out war with the Muslim world, Russia and China included, a conflict in which we may at best achieve a Pyrrhic victory. The Myanmar people have not asked us to sacrifice our children to their war. Israel is. That's why we have to care more. So always debunk these people when they come to you and say, oh, you should care about this other genocide, because there's more death. It's never been about the number of death. It's about the amount of involvement. Like, you could genocide 10 million people out there in a way that wouldn't bother me at all. If you start asking me to, Jeff, can we use your money to genocide 10 million people? I would start taking issue. Jeff, can we use your children to genocide 10 million people? Yeah, it's starting to tickle me, you know. I'm starting to feel a rising resistance. Defenestrator says IDF snipers are shooting children, according to recent reports by volunteers. Absolutely. Judge refuses to dismiss Trump defamation lawsuit against ABC and Stephanopoulos. On Wednesday, a federal judge rejected a motion by ABC News and George Stephanopoulos to dismiss the defamation lawsuit filed against them by former President Donald Trump for repeatedly describing President Trump as liable for rape. It's technically false because even the E. Jean Carroll case has not concluded that a rape has occurred. Even the super biased case, which is absolutely fictitious and absolutely stems from absolute lies, even that case didn't reach the point where they said, there was a rape. No, he's liable for sexual harassment, but the rape didn't occur. So technically, when ABC News says he's liable for rape, they are exaggerating even what was found by the leftist banana court. Trump says that Israel needs to end war quick and have better public relations. See, this is very disappointing because I would like a Trump that is not trying to cosmetically arrange it for Israel. This is a point at which Trump could distinguish himself from the rest of the political class. He could be critical of Netanyahu. But when you talk of PR, you're saying everything they're doing is fine. You're saying it's just the messaging, you know. You could just wrap it in a better, you could sugarcoat it. You know, I'm a New York marketer. I could help you do better on your PR. But when you do a comment that is cosmetic in nature, then you agree with the fundamentals. You agree with the pillar of the action. And you agree with a land-thirsty Israel, which is acting in the most barbaric way against human populations. Very disappointing of Trump. So there are people who are saying it's acceptable to Republicans. 34 felony convictions, not disqualifying. Liable for sexual assault, not disqualifying. Proven fraud, not disqualifying. Trying to change election results, not disqualifying. Well, yeah, but this is all a made-up thing. You made up these felony convictions with your leftist biased trials. You made up that it's somehow a crime to question elections in 2020 when it's never been. You guys have been questioning elections forever. You know, one of the most classic thing when I was at the university speaking with liberals, they would be convinced that every time there has been a Republican president, it's always a fraud. They always thought it was a fraud. They must have played with the machines. By the way, it was a very leftist thing to believe that the electoral machines are tampered with. It was a very, very leftist thing before. It became a Trump thing only when Trump lost. And when the Democrats won, they suddenly were satisfied with the process of the machine. I mean, look at this. You have this woman, Rashida Tlaib, holding a sign that says guilty of genocide. She says, I will never back down in speaking truth to power. The apartheid government of Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians. Palestinians will not be erased. Solidarity with all those outside of these walls in the streets protesting and exercising their right to dissent. look at the comment of Elon Musk. That's a very decent statement. Even I find nothing to disagree with here. Is it true that Israel is committing a genocide? That is not a question of opinion. It's a question of you have to go through A to E, through the definition of genocide that's accepted by the UN, and you have to ask, have they done this? Have they done this? Have they done this? The answer is yes, they've done all of these points. Only one of these points would be sufficient. But they've done a multicolor umbrella genocide with a little bit of everything, okay? They wanted to meet the genocide definition by any standard possible. Now, and then she talks about free speech. I mean, Rashida Tlaib basically saying, hey, the First Amendment applies to pro-Palestinian people in America. I'm ecstatic. I agree with Rashida Tlaib. But Elon Musk doesn't? He says, people who have been lifelong Democrats refuse to accept the clear reality that the Democratic Party is rapidly becoming openly anti-Semitic. This trend is accelerating, not slowing down. Knock, knock, hello, Captain Obvious here. What is openly anti-Semitic about what Rashida Tlaib has said here? Or about what any of the Democrats have said? Openly anti-Semitic. You really can't. Elon Musk's mind refuses to process what is said here. Do you realize, Elon, that you're siding with genocidal action when you take a tour with Bibi Netanyahu? Do you realize that you are siding with a genocide that is currently happening? If you had the decency to at least admit it and say, you know what, JF, yes, but I have to because business, or I have to because I just fucked a Jewish woman and I'm in love, or I have to because half the babies I've made up to now are Jewish. Any explanation, I would welcome it. I'd be like, hey, I can understand this guy. He knows what the truth is, but he has to make a decision in his own interest. And perhaps he lacks control of his dick. Perhaps he falls in love again and again with Jewish women. He's attracted to them. But no, we get a cognitively dissonant Elon. And I really don't like this. I really don't like this. Boiling Frog says, they showed me the Zapruder tape, JF. I don't know what that is. Were they forcing your eyes open like this and forcing you to watch tapes? I don't know what you're talking about. Newsom issues executive order for California cities to remove homeless encampments after Supreme Court ruling. Very impressive, this whole leftists that have caused the homeless encampments and the everlasting attractiveness of these cities to homeless people. They're starting to care about the negative consequences of their actions. And in this case, it's forced by Supreme Court, but I think we're starting to have leftists tired of the consequences of their actions on society. Boiling Frog says, they showed Elon the video of JFK assassination. The Jew filming was named Zapruder. Oh, okay. So you're saying that that it's a technique of intimidation. You show what the Jews can do, and you show that basically they could assassinate you if you don't side with them, the way they did JFK. Okay, I understand now. That makes total sense. All right, what else do we have before we close the show? Oh yeah, there was this whole conflict between the media was, when Kamala Harris was seen as, well, it's this black woman, so we want to give her major roles. So we're going to call her the border czar. Like, that's solid, border czar. We're going to give her that badass female attitude. Now, that's the moment at which they wanted to brag that, oh yeah, look, we're giving a lot of power to a black woman. That's what Democrats do, because Democrats love black people. Now, fast forward 3 years. We're now at a moment for accountability. And when it comes to accountability, women are not, they're not super good at it. Let's be honest, okay? There's something in the brain that short circuits any form of accountability. And it's like, no, I just want the ice cream. They are following their goal in a way that is completely independent of incoming signals. So now it's now that we could judge and say, oh, well, was Kamala Harris a good border czar? Now, the answer to that question would be no. And now they don't want her to be a border czar. So the leftist media has dropped their own body under the bus for saving Kamala. They said, oh, we were wrong. Oh, for years we were calling her border czar. It was factually incorrect. Guess what? I'm fact-checking myself. I'm just stupid. We were just stupid. We all got this group delusion that Kamala was in charge of the border. It was false.
And the Biden administration did task a Vice President Kamala Harris with the issue of migrant crossings, naming her the so-called border czar.
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries we're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point.
And the Biden administration did task a Vice President Kamala Harris with the issue of migrant crossings, naming her the so-called border czar.
The kind of thing that is playing out all over conservative media. I just want to do a little bit of record correcting. There's not record crime right now. Number one, Harris was put in charge, as you said earlier, of combating the roots of immigration. She was not and is not the border czar.
Fascinating. The machine, the media machine of the Democrats is capable of lying about itself, lying about whoever you need them to lie to for the continuation of their goal, which is, in this case, getting Kamala Harris elected. That is so weird, but as a fan of embedded systems, object-oriented programming, self-reference, I kind of have to get interested in this. This is Dylan Mulvaney, a trans person trying to look like a female, originally a male, but now Dylan Mulvaney has chosen to wear a costume. To wear a male costume for Halloween or whatever drag spectacle that she's attending. So here you have a trans woman costumed as a man, which in the end is a man dressed as a man. I love these. I am a strange loop, says Ty Odyssey. So basically a trans woman dressed as a man is a man dressed as a man. Also no, aka a man. No, it's not AI created. It's not a picture, it's a video if you want to be convinced of the authenticity of it. This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold'em. Okay, so here you have a man who's trying to look like a feminized female who's attempting to imitate a male. I mean, this is, you know, Eric Weinstein was talking about the layers, the deep layers of kayfabe. When you're faking something, but you're faking it so well that it becomes believable and you start to believe in it yourself. And then the wrestlers are starting to give real punch to each other. And then the crowd comes in and they're like, I'm going to take part in that fight. And then it becomes a real fight. This is layered kayfabe for you right there. Also, some things I'm confused about is these counter-protesters at the Bibi speech. Some of them were making graffitis, Hamas, Free Gaza. The thing is, I see the superficial analysis of the center-right on this, and it's like, oh, they're Hamas supporters. Look, they support Hamas. Look, they made a Hamas graffiti. But, you know, these movements can be infiltrated by troublemakers. And you can have a troublemaker that comes in, tries to discredit the whole crowd by making graffitis. So, you know, it's not because you are surrounded by people who make graffitis that your opinion isn't worth it. You have to tolerate, you don't want to make graffiti by association arguments. Because you're going to miss something there. You're going to miss a mindful, correct opposition to your ideas just because some subversive agent came and made a graffiti. Burning Frog says, I was listening to a debunking of the speech. Bibi is intolerable to listen to. I hear taking a break of that show. Okay, well, the show is over, so you don't have to take a break. Here, I'm going to put you on the outro right away if you can't handle it anymore. Bye-bye to the other people and sleep well. I'll see you tomorrow.